This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Let's go, guys. Parshas Kisevo, Perichav Ches Pasuk Yud. The Pasuk says, V'roh ko'am e'artz kishem esham nikor alechav yarun mecha. We're talking about the brachos. It goes to the brachos for the first couple psukim until it gets to the 98 klalos of Kisevo, the crazy klalos, the curses that are there. It says, all of the people of the land will see that the name of God is upon you and they'll be afraid of you. They'll fear you. Reb Sternbach says in Talmud Das that this means you're going to do mitzvos to such a level that will allow you to be different from every other nation. Well, you'll be noticeably different from every other nation out there. Just by doing them, we'll raise a level where the shame Hashem Nikra Lach, where literally people look at us and say, that is a person who works for God, a person who works for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All Amei Ratzon are going to see this. Everybody, and they're going to be shocked. Reb Hirsch says, listen, we want to be known as the people that God considers his own. We're marked. We stay away from those parts of life that we know are not supposed to be the right ones. We stay true to our real mission. This is the big thing that Reb Hirsch says throughout Devarim, the idea of there's a real mission that every single one of us has, a mission to be a Jew by the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we project that to others. So people look at us and they see a loftiness, a greatness that we have, not an aloofness and a gaiva that makes us feel that we're better than other people. Even if we are better than other people, we shouldn't show that we think that we're better than other people. The way it should be recognized is we look at it and we say, we have a mission. That mission doesn't belong to anybody else. We have it, and that's deemed as something very, very significant. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, a Jew must be careful not to be over on any mitzvos lo saseh. Obviously, we've got to do every one of the mitzvos saseh. Obviously, we shouldn't be over on any of the mitzvos lo saseh. But he says, when a person stays away from averos, specifically, not by doing mitzvos, but by staying away from averos, you retain a tselem elokim on your face. You look like a different person, a godly person, and every creature, person, animal, etc., is going to be afraid of you. They're going to stay away. Once a person does an avera, the tselem is removed from his face, the tselem goes away from his face, and then all animals and people have the ability to kill him. When Cain committed his murderous deed of Hevel, when Cain killed Hevel, the result was that Cain lost his Tselem Elokim. He no longer looked like a godly human being. He looked like a regular human being. And that's why I said, Ko Motzi Hergeini. Anybody who finds me is going to kill me. Because once you lose that Tselem Elokim, any animal can come up to you. On the other hand, there's a way to retain that Tselem Elokim that nobody comes near. In the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Lamed Aleph, Rabbi Chinin ben Dosa heard about a snake on our road. It's not really a snake. I don't know what this is. A really, really poisonous, dangerous creature. Heard about this road, that our road was killing people. And all the people were saying, what are we going to do? What are we going to do about the snake? And Rabbi Chinin ben Dosa wanted to show them it wasn't the snake. So those who know the story obviously know Rabbi Chinin ben Dosa went to the hole, the lair of the snake, put his foot right there, his bare foot, right where the snake was. The snake bit him, and the snake died as if he was Chuck Norris. Really, Rabbi Chanina Medosa is the entire story. It's from him. Rabbi Chanina Medosa was so great. You bite Rabbi Chanina Medosa's ankle and you die. And the pshat is because when you retain that Tselem Elokim, you don't do averos, you do everything correctly, you are a person who every animal should be afraid of. Every single person should be afraid of. That's what happened to Rechina Mendoza, and that's that. My only shaila on this, by the way, my only question is, I don't get why the snake bit Rechina Mendoza. If this is true, then the snake should have stayed as far away from Rechina Mendoza as possible, shouldn't have bit him. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed the snake to bite him to show everybody that it's not the snake, rather the sin itself. I'm sorry?
The snake never saw his face.
Never saw his face, but it should be the whole body retains that tselem elokim. I hear what you're saying, but I find that a little strange. But regardless, that's the idea behind it. And the Ksav Sofer says, it's what the other nations are begging to see. Do we have that shame elokim upon us? Do we have the tselem elokim upon us or not? Are people looking at us? They want us to be that godly nation that other people just look up to. And the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei is the name of Rachamim. The name that we should have is that shame Hashem, the shame of Yud Kei Vav Kei, the name of Rachamim upon us, said it's totally different. Said they're afraid of us. Not really afraid, but they see that the name of Hashem is with us in whatever we do, and we're ambassadors for the shame of Rachamim of Hashem, not just Stam. Ben Ish Chai says in Od Yosef Chai, there was once a king by the name of Alexander. I highly doubt this is Alexander the Great. I think this is a different point that he's trying to make. His guards brought before him a man that had done an evil deed and deserved to die. So this man was brought in front of Alexander. The person was supposed to die. And the king asked him his name. He said, what's your name? And he told him, my name is Alexander. When the guy said that, the king said, let him go. Let him go free. I can't kill such a man. They said, why? They said, well, if he's got my name and people hear that he's killed, they're going to think to themselves, Alexander was killed. They're going to say as if the king was killed. And if they have my name, I don't want them to be known as somebody that got killed, somebody who has my name being killed. Think of this. If we have a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name, says the Ben Ish Chai, if we have that upon us, if that becomes our known, we are the people of God, then Hashem won't want us to die early. Hashem won't want anything bad to happen to us. Because anytime something bad happens to us, it looks bad at him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks bad, so to speak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks like he's not taking care of his nation. We're the people of God, and God isn't with us. That looks bad. The Nazis, Yimach Shemam, over and over and over again would tell the Jews, where's your God? Where's your God? Where's the God that's taking care of you? And we didn't have an answer. We didn't have an answer. Because the truth is, if we had that Tzel Elokim, the Nazis wouldn't have been able to touch us. And it's difficult to retain that Tzel Elokim, obviously. But just one Aveira can take it away. That's the concept of what the Ben Ish Chai is saying in the Od Yosef Chai. We have it in that way. And this, he says something amazing. We even have God's name upon us when we're Yisrael. We all know when we're not doing so well, we're called Yaakov. When we're doing well, we're called Yisrael. Yoshar El is our name. We have El in our name. We're known as God's people because we have El in our name itself. It's Yisrael. It's right there. It's within our name. Then the Ben Ish Chai says something crazy, and I did not know this. And if anybody here did know this, please tell me. I had no idea. It says, and Yishmael, you might think, oh, it also has God's name. Maybe God is with Yishmael as well. He says, no. Every time it says Yishmael in the Torah, the Tzeri is under the Ayin and the Aleph is silent. The Tzeri is under the Ayin and the Aleph is silent. So it's really Ayin Lamed, not Aleph Lamed. Did anybody know that? I always thought it was read as Yishmael. That's the way I thought it was. But it's not. It's Yishmael. It doesn't matter by Ashkenazim because we can't pronounce an ayin and the aleph doesn't mean anything anyway. But it's pronounced as Yishmael as if there's no aleph. There is no God's name in Yishmael. It's ayin lamed with the tzeri under the ayin, but a tzeri under there. Did anybody else here know that? Do you guys know that? It really, have you heard it? You're just farty. Avram, do you ever hear it that way? Have you ever heard Yishmael? Is it like that? The way they go? That's the craziest thing in the world. I mean, I never noticed it because we're a bunch of fools, us Ashkenazim. We have absolutely no idea. But it's the craziest thing in the world. He says that's the pshat, that they're not with us. Miam Loewy says it's not just looking at us. It's when we're in war. You get to the 67 or the 73 war. You're dealing with Jews who have crazy miracles happening to them all the time. They're going to be afraid to fight you. They don't want to go near you. No non-Jew wants to go near us because they know they're going to lose. It's just ridiculous. That's the idea behind it. And maybe that's what it means by the name of God is upon you refers to the tefillin. Maybe that's what it's referring to show us that it's not our strength winning the battles. It's the Kedusha that's with us, Hashem that's with us. When the nations see our weapon, that we're not fighting with regular weapons, we're fighting with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, they get scared. And the truth is, this is really what happened by Gidon. Anybody know the story with Gidon? There were like 10,000 people there. 10,000 people that were fighting in the army, right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is too much. They sent everybody home. They ended up with 300 people. 300 people. It was 30,000, 10,000, whatever. 300 people that end up remaining. Then Gidon goes out to fight. Does anybody know what he told them to carry in their hands? Gidon told them, here's what you got to carry in your hands, okay? In one hand, you're going to carry a torch with like a little pitcher on top of it. In the other hand, you're going to carry a shofar. They didn't even bring weapons to the war. 300 men went to war carrying a shofar in one hand, right? And a little candle in the other, a torch in the other that was covered up. And when they were ready, they undid and whatever it was, and they blew on the shofar. They didn't bring a weapon to war. Because they knew what? Kadosh Baruch Hu is with us. We don't have to worry about anything. What do we have to worry about? And the other nations, we're afraid of us. Their fear is a palpable fear because they know we're not fighting normally. This is not a normal fight. What are we supposed to do? That's how the Miam always puts it. What's up?
Why do we have to go to war in the first place?
Why do we have to go to war in the first place?
Comes with you, just like show at home.
You're right. You're 100% right. Meaning, most of the time, we hope the nations will be too scared to fight us, so we don't even have to fight the war. In the situations where we do have to fight a war, it's because we lost that Tzel Elokim. We no longer had that Tzelim for whatever reason, and therefore we're gone. Yeah, Mati.
If that's the case, then why shouldn't you bring weapons?
Right.
Why should you bring weapons in the first place?
If you've lost that, then isn't that all the more reason that you should bring
weapons? Meaning by the times of Gidon, why did that? Why did they not? Very good. By Gidon, it was a special, you'd have to say it's whole Rosh Shah of some sort, in which they went in without carrying those weapons, or they carried on the set, whatever it was, but the point was that they didn't have it on them, but that was whole Rosh Shah. That is not a suggestion. That did not happen in any other war. It was just by the times of Gidon, and it was a miracle. 300 people fighting against the people of Midian, hundreds of thousands of people. They said there was too many for them to count. You're dealing with something like that. That's an absolute crazy idea. Yeah?
How did they die? How did
the other people? They killed themselves. Tripped over their own feet, slashed each other with their own swords, didn't have anything. And then the people from Gidon threw down their chauffeurs and grabbed the swords from the other nations and killed them with those swords. Yeah, but that's that. They killed themselves. We didn't do anything. And Kadosh Baruch Hu Ki'ilu went around. I don't, you know, they say in Josephus, in the History of the Jews by Josephus, it says that when the Hashmonaim fought against the Greeks saw a malach made of fire on a fiery red horse carrying a sword going through the people. As if they saw a malach fighting for the Jews. It wasn't the Jews. They weren't fighting fair. It's as if the malach was doing everything for them. That's the idea behind it. The Rashbam says there's no fear. This is not yira as in they're afraid of us. There's no real fear that's happening over here. This is an awe. There's going to be an awe of what we are and what they have. They're going to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us in whatever we do. He fulfills our requests. He hears our tefillos. He does what's best for us. And when he sees that, then they're going to be in awe of us. Wow, I wish I had that relationship with my Creator. I wish I had my relationship with God the way that these Jews have it like that. Rabbi Bechaya says it's like a mashal. A certain officer having an eved is not so impressive. But the eved of the king is impressive. You don't do anything to the eved of the king because he's the eved of the king. If he's the servant of the king, you stay away from him. Again, what am I afraid of? Am I afraid that the eved of the king is going to hurt me? No, he's still a slave. But I'm in awe of him. He gets to touch the king. He gets to go near the king. He gets to be in the palace throne room standing in front of the king without any problems whatsoever. That's a person that I'm in awe of. That's amazing. How awesome it is to be around such a person. That's the idea behind it. Chassam Sofer says in Torah Moshe that when a person looks different from everybody else, there are two reactions that a person might have. Like when I went to Tennessee last week and I saw these guys that were all Amish and they're all wearing like twin clothing. You know, like that light blue button-down shirt, like all buttons down, like no roll-up sleeves or anything like that, right? Nothing like that. Suspenders, the girls wearing the bonnets and the little thing on top. When I saw them, they were going through. This is a modern sect, clearly modern sect, because they came through car. They didn't come in. I saw them leaving in their van, okay? It's good times. Somebody else was driving. They had a driver, you know, because it was like Shabbos for us, right? So they had a driver. Those who do that probably shouldn't be doing. We'll say Yom Tif Sheni in Eretz Yisrael for those who hold a day and a half, right? Go ahead. But the Chassam Sofer in Torah Moshe says there's two reactions that a person can have. One is laugh at the person. You stick out. You look different. So you laugh at the person. I can't believe somebody like that is walking around here. That's the first reaction you should have. The second thing is you could say to yourself, like, huh, this guy sticks to his guns. He sticks to his guns and that's what it is. My reaction when I saw them is I just thought that. That's amazing. They don't dress down when they go on vacation. They dress the same way they would if they were sitting in their fields making a barn. The exact same way they do there, that's what they do over here. And the truth is, if they make barns wearing all that clothing with suspenders and shirts, etc., shirt sleeves and regular pants and everything, then why wouldn't you go on vacation that way? What difference does it make? Like, that's your comfortable clothing, so to speak. But that's what they did. And that's the concept of, if we look a certain way, says Chassam Sofer, it's one of two reactions we're going to have. Ignore those who don't understand it and grab onto those that totally understand it. The Baal HaTorim says, Mita Kenei Mita, they're afraid of you, you'll end up getting it, etc. Chazal tells something about Shimon HaTzadik and Alexander the Great, but we'll skip that for right now. In Divrei Mahari, Rabbi Yehuda Sad says that every Jew should consider themselves a mini Beis HaMikdash. You can consider yourself, you should consider yourself as if you've always done everything correct. And you are the Beis HaMikdash itself. In fact, Targum Yonah, the way it's mentioned by the Divrei Mahari is that the way it says Es Eloshem Elokecha Tira, you should fear God. And the S includes Talmid Chachamim. It's that every Talmid Chacham has something in him that makes him seem and feel different. He says, it's the Beis HaMikdash within every single Jew. You have a Beis HaMikdash in you where you can daven as if you're inside the Beis HaMikdash. You should feel it. So it's not just that they're afraid of us. They're afraid of the Beis HaMikdash that's inside every single Jew. There is another drush over here. Targum Yonason mentions what's mentioned in the Gemara Brachos Dav Vav Amid Aleph. Rabbi Elazar says that when it says that Kishem Hashem Nikro Alecha V'yoru Mecha, the name of God is upon you, it refers to the Tefillin Shel Rosh. When you wear your Tefillin Shel Rosh, and think about this, this only applies for men who have the Tefillin Shel Rosh. You wear your Tefillin Shel Rosh, v'yaru mimecha. The other nations will be completely and utterly scared of you. So there's some interesting ramazim here. Parish Yonason says, Shem Hashem Nikra is the Rashi Tevos of Shin, Yod of Hashem's name, and then Nun. It's a Shin. If you look on top of the Shel Rosh on both sides, what's on both sides of the Shel Rosh? A Shin. A Shin from the Shem Shakai. So what you're putting on, what you're doing when you put on your tefillin, is you're showing everyone the name of God is upon me. I have the Shem Hashem Nikra. I have the Shin of Shakai upon me. I'm showing everyone what I have and who I am over here. It's Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai to put a Shin on top of your tefillin. And that's the remez. The people will see what's there. And that's brought down by everybody. The Rabbeinu Chaya brings it down. The Rabbeinu Ephraim brings it down. Paneach Raza brings it down. The Baal HaTurim brings it down. But that Shin that's upon you is supposed to be the actual Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's on top. Not the tefillin shel yad, because halachically, you're supposed to cover up the tefillin shel yad. I don't know if people know this. If you're wearing short sleeves, when you have tefillin on, the tefillin shel yad, try to make sure that your sleeves are long enough to cover up the tefillin shel yad. So it's covered. The Belzer Rebbe was makbid that as soon as he put on his tefillin shel yad, before he even put on his shel rosh, now it's interesting, we all know there shouldn't be any hefzik in between. When he put on his shel yad, he immediately covered it. He didn't leave it open until he had it. I think, I'm sorry? I don't know. It's supposed to be covered. But the reason why I did it immediately, that I don't know. I would assume nowadays with the box that we have, everybody has that black box that goes around it. Yes, it also protects the tefillin when you have stuff on top of it so it doesn't get ruined. But I think the pshat behind it is on purpose. It's to cover it up. To make sure that it's at least somewhat covered. Yes, it has that little hole in it so you can put a finger on it and give it a kiss, right, during certain parts of Shema or Ashrei, etc., right? But nonetheless, it's covered on purpose to put it there. Tosus and Menachos on Daf Lamed Heima Beis says the minig is to cover it up as soon as you put it on. You should do that as soon as you possibly can. It should be for you for a sign, for you to have the tefillin on, not for anybody else. It shouldn't be for anybody else out there. That's Eddie Behan. Yeah. So if you cover it up, kissing it from the outside of your jacket or the outside of your shirt is perfectly fine. If it's able to, you can lift up and touch it like that. That's fine as well, right? But again, it should be, if minimally covered, put it up there. But the Shel Rosh, that's supposed to be shown to other people. That everyone is supposed to see. The Rabbeinu Ephraim, Rabbeinu Bechaya, Paneach Raza, and Parshas Bo, the Beis Yosef in Orach Chaim, Siman Lama Beis, and a few others say there's another remez to the Shin. There are 300 days, Gematria of Shin, in which you wear tefillin during the year. You wear tefillin for 300 days, and therefore you put a Shin on top of your tefillin over here. Simply put, if you have 354 days in a regular year, 354 days, there are give or take about 50 Shabbosim, 50 Shabbosim, a couple days of Yom Tif, you end up with 300, give or take, 300 days where you put it up. I'm sorry? Well, hold on. That's exactly this vort. So give or take, in a regular year, you got it. It works out well. Everything's all good. You got 300 days altogether. Listen to this vort. It says that the other idea is the following. On average, a Hebrew year should be 365 days. Because obviously, 2 years are not a leap year. The third year is a leap year. We have a cycle of 3-3-3-2, where every third year is a leap year, third year is a leap year, third year is a leap year, then the second year is a leap year. That's how we have our cycle, right? The way the cycle goes, mostly goes 3-3-3-2, right? And on average, in 3 years, you have 354 days per year, 354. The next year is 384, 383. 29 extra days for the leap year, right? You take that, divide it up, 9, 10, and 10, 365 days a year. Let's just call it 365 days a year is the easiest way to put it. Let's say something like that, okay? Out of the 365 days, those 365 days, there are 52 Shabbosos, okay? 52 Shabbosos. 2 days Rosh Hashanah. 1 day of Yom Kippur. 4 days Yom Tif of Sukkot. 4 days Yom Tif of Pesach. 2 days of Shavuos, obviously outside of Eretz Yisrael. Altogether, 2 plus 4 plus 4 plus 1 plus 2 plus 52 is 65. That means out of the 365 days a year, 65 days you don't wear tefillin. That means how many days do you have wearing tefillin? 300. Comes Asher Spetner and says, but that means you wear your tefillin on Chol HaMoed. And they actually bring a raya to this. In the bottom of the Rabbeinu Bechaya, where this is brought down, Rabbi Shavel brings down there that there is a remez from this Rabbeinu Bechaya that you only wear tefillin for 300 days a year, that means you wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. You do wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed.
What about when Yom Tov lands on Shabbos?
I'm sorry?
Yom Tov lands on Shabbos.
You're right. It could be that they're doubled up on whatever it is, but for sure Chol HaMoed is not included because that's another 9 days. It would be 291, not 300. Right now, it could be it rounded up, but it seems that there's a remez from over here that you don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Yes? I'm sorry?
Without a bracha.
It doesn't say that. I would assume you make it without a bracha. I have the minhag without a bracha. Does anybody here have a minhag to wear tefillin with a bracha?
Rav Zucker says with a bracha.
Rav Zucker says with a bracha? That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So there are minhagim. There are minhagim, but this seems to be that. Sfardim. What does Sfardim do? Sfardim don't wear it, right? Tefillin?
No. He's part of
Oh, maybe that's different. Maybe. That doesn't happen on Chol HaMoed. I'm pretty sure that doesn't happen on Chol HaMoed. I'm not positive about that, but I'm pretty sure that's not there. It seems more than this. The Rabbeinu Bachaya continues that the shin of the tefillin not only refers to the shakai and the 300 days, refers to the shechina that rests upon the person, on the neshama of a person. The shin has three prongs on one side, and the shin has four prongs on the other side. I hope everybody knows that, right? That there's a shin on one side with three and the shin on the other side is four. I hope everybody knows. There's a tosis of Menachos. I'm sorry? If it was between your eyes, you still wouldn't see it. Even if you were looking at it like this, I'm sure that most people wouldn't see it. Regardless, right, that shin has three on one, four on the other. Says the Rabbeinu Bachaya, it's to be merames. On one side, the Shekhinah is with us. On the other side, the Shekhinah fills up every hole and crack in the universe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere, even where you think He's not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there taking care of us and doing everything we have. That's the idea behind it. It gives koach, strength to everything that's in existence. He said the dalid that's formed in the back of the head, the little knot that you have in the back of the head that's the dalid, is that that Shekhinah goes throughout the dalid yesodos of existence. The four different yesodos of Ufer, Mayim, Esh, and Mayim, Ufer, Mayim, Esh, and what am I missing here? Ruach, thank you. Right, that he goes through all of them. The straps going up and down indicate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is down here with us and then goes back up, so to speak, that he's all there, right, in everything that he does. I mean, it is true that the Rabbeinu Bachaya mentions elsewhere that the point that we wear tefillin on is to infuse ourselves with Kedusha every day, as if it's a conduit of electricity on top. You're taking in the electricity and spreading it through your entire body, giving it over to your entire body. You put it on the other arm, the arm that you don't normally use for mitzvos, to give your other arm the opportunity to do mitzvos. I'm a lefty, I put it on my right arm. So even though I do most of my mitzvot with my left arm, so this hand is infused with Kedusha, my right arm needs to be infused with a different type of Kedusha. That's the idea behind it. Tiferes Yonason does go into this and says that there's four parshios on purpose to refer to the four yesodos of the world, but that's not for right now. The Me'am Lo'ez said there's a special segula by tefillin. When you wear them, you should feel humbled. I don't know if people feel this way, and maybe we don't have that thought process. Maybe you need that thought process right before you put it on. You think to yourself, I'm doing this for the right reasons. But you should feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on top of me. As if to say, I'm being weighed down by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I can't look fully up. The idea behind a hat, right, what people wear with black hats nowadays and what people did back then with turbans or whatever it was to weigh down your head. The Gemara in Shabbos with Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchok, his mother was told by stargazers that he would grow up to be a thief. So his mother made sure that he would wear something on top of his head that weighed him down so he wouldn't be able to lift up his eyes. One time it fell off, he looked up and he jumped up in a tree in order to take one of the fruits that were up in the tree. It tells you that the idea behind it is to lower our eyes, to put ourselves down so that we're not looking everywhere, we're not going all over. When Reb Yirmiyah turned to Rav, right, he looked at Rav. And Rav saw that, I don't know if it was which one is which. I've never understood the Gemara fully. Whether Reb Yirmiyah saw Rav laughing or Rav saw Reb Yirmiyah laughing. One of them saw the other one laughing. He said, what are you doing? How can you say this? V'gilu birada. You can't just be joyous. You have to have some type of trembling. There should be a little bit of fear when you're learning Torah. Why are you just happy as if frivolousness? How could you allow that to be? To which he responded back and he said, I'm wearing tefillin. Tefillin menachna. Ana tefillin menachna. I'm wearing tefillin. If I'm wearing tefillin, I can't have frivolousness. It's impossible. How could I do that while I'm wearing tefillin on my head? Tefillin automatically is machnia you. Now, there are people that wear tefillin all day long. And back in the day, that's what people did. obviously, that's not our world nowadays. And I know the famous story, Rabina told me the story, in which there was a guy in yeshiva that wanted to wear tefillin all day long because that's what everybody in the old city was doing at the time. And he said, I want to go. Rabina said, go to Rav Scheinberg. Rav Scheinberg Zatzal, go to Rav Scheinberg and ask Rav Scheinberg what he says. Rav Scheinberg, as everybody knows, wore how many pairs of tefillin? You know, a billion pairs of tefillin. A billion pairs of tzitzis. And he wore tefillin all day long, Rav Scheinberg, toward the end of his life. So he went to Rav Scheinberg. Rav Scheinberg is sitting there, crowned in his tefillin, wearing his talisim, right, the tzitzis all over his body, right? And he went to him and he said, Rebbe, I want to wear tefillin all day. So Rav Scheinberg said to him, why can't you be normal? Why can't you be normal? To which the guy said, but Rebbe is wearing tefillin. To which Rav Scheinberg said, do I look normal to you? It's obvious. There are certain people, like obviously when you're Rav Scheinberg, you can wear tefillin all day long. When you're certain people, we just don't have that. I am not telling a person not to. I'm saying everybody should speak to their own rub. But if you're speaking to me, I'm going to tell you, you are not the person to wear tefillin. The fact that you're asking me, that means you consider me a Rebbe, No. You might be greater than me, but if you're asking me, I'm going to tell you, no, I'm not close to that. I don't think somebody who would consider themselves a Talmud of me would be ready for that. Maybe to wear tefillin once a day, that's what you can get. But, you know, to be more than that, I don't think I'm ready for that. Torah Tumimah says that the word tefillin actually means power and strength, going back to what we said before, that they see a power bias. Plila means, in a way, to have a certain power. By Yafalel Pinchas. Pinchas davened. It really means he made plilo simkonai. He fought his master. He fought HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was ready to go and do something. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can't allow this to happen. The word tefillin means we have a power, a strength that's given to us that is infused within our system, that we have something extra, something great that makes us into something a little bit better. The parties Yosef brings from the Rush Hilchos Tefillin Siman Tes Zayin, who says from the Sefer Ha'itim, that a blind man is putter from wearing tefillin. Now that's weird, because we do have a halacha, right? And the Rush mentions it on the Bala Yitim right there. He says, we have a halacha that a blind man is putter from tzitzis. And that makes sense. Anybody know why a blind man is putter from tzitzis? Uri Samoso, you're supposed to see it. And a blind man can't see it, so a blind man is putter from tzitzis. He can wear tzitzis, okay. But a blind man is putter from tzitzis. But a blind man putter from tefillin? That's not a Gemara. Where do you have that? And says the Rush, I shouldn't say it, the Madane Yomtif, which is the parish on the Rush, there in Brachos, says the Madane Yomtif, he looks at it right there, and he says, you know why? Because V'ra'u kol amei aretz ki shem Hashem nikra alach v'yaruim mecha. V'ra'u kol amei aretz is a reference to tefillin. Tefillin need to be seen. It needs to be seen. And if you can't see, then you're putter from tefillin. If you can't see your own tefillin, the Bala Yitim said, we don't paskin this. The Sefer Yitim says that you're putter from tefillin. Again, we do not paskin this way. But the Svara is amazing. Absolutely amazing. Yeah, Mati.
Doesn't that seem strange when one of the tefillin goes over here where you can't possibly see it and the other is covered up?
I hear you. But I think it means that you can see the tefillin at some point or you can see it by others. I think that's what it means. Somebody who can't see tefillin at all is putter from the mitzvah of tefillin. I think that's what it means. Not necessarily your own, though. Yeah.
It's not you. It's the amen.
It's the amen, definitely. But the word re'iyah appears, therefore it's there. So you're right, Ben. Obviously, because by tzitzis it says re'isemoso, you should see it. Here it's just v'ra'u, they see it. Nonetheless, the word re'iyah is mentioned by over here. And now we get a little bit strange. In the schus of tefillin, says the Baal Turim, if you wear tefillin every single day, you will have a schus to live longer. I do not want people to say, like, I knew a guy who used to wear tefillin every day and he passed away at a young age. I'm just telling you what the Bala Turim says. He says there's a schus to live longer. The very next pasuk talks about long life. After this pasuk Yud Aleph, talks about long life. He says, Hashem will add on to the life you have if you wear tefillin every single morning. Chizkuni says in the pasuk in Yoel, it says, Kol asher yikra b'shem Hashem, yemaleit. You call out the name of God, you will escape punishment. You will escape punishment. You'll be able to go through. Miamlois brings a story, I don't know this is, Rav Yosef Yakilta Jaktilia, I don't know what the name is, who was on his deathbed, very, very sick. He saw two men in a vision, two men weighing his deeds, and the scale was around equal. And he ran, or yelled out to somebody who was in the room, bring me my tefillin. And they brought him his tefillin, they put it on, and he started to feel better and better and better. He said the power of tefillin is so great it can weigh down your scale of mitzvos. The amount that you have your tefillin on weighs down that scale of mitzvos, and it has the ability to tip it to good. That was what he said. The Miyamalais brings that down. Now, the Tzor Lativa brings a story. I will tell you right now. There are three stories that I'm about to tell you. One of them is a Hasidish story. One of them is the Vilna Gaon story. One of them is clearly like a mix between the two. Okay? They're all basically the same story. They're all around the same story with different things going on by each one. First one is that Tzor Lateva brings down about the Baal HaTanya. Baal HaTanya was the very first Rebbe of Lubavitch, lived around 250 years ago, right? Mid 1700s, late 1700s, very early 1800s. The Baal HaTanya was in jail, was thrown in jail. I think it's Yitzhak Kislev, where they celebrated him coming out of jail. They bribed the officers for one person to go to jail every single day and bring him talis and tefillin so that he would wear his talis and tefillin every single day. He couldn't keep the talis and tefillin in the jail, but they bribed the officers every single day that someone would be able to go in and bring it inside and would be able to go through. One time, while the Rav was wearing his talis and tefillin, a very high-ranking officer came into the cell. Wanted to see who the Baal HaTanya was. He was going to go in, and the attendant, the one who had brought the talis and tefillin, knew that this guy was going to go crazy. Going to go crazy. How dare you wear your talis and tefillin here? The man looked inside the cell, saw the Baal HaTanya wearing his talis and tefillin, and got up, looked shocked, and walked away immediately. Just walked away immediately. The shlich who had brought the Baal HaTanya the tefillin, he asked him after it was done, and he said, what happened? He said, it's a gemara. The Yaru Mimeka. Ki Shem Hashem Nikra Lecha. When you have the tefillin upon you, the Yaru Mimeka. The people will see it, the non-Jews who see it will be afraid of you. So that's what happened. So the Shlech responded and he said, but I wear my tefillin all the time. People see me wearing my tefillin, they don't get scared. Why don't they get scared of me? And the Baal HaTanya responded, because by you, you're wearing your tefillin al harosh, on your head. The Gemara says, this pasuk, Ki Shem Hashem Nikra Lecha, is tefillin shebirosh. It has to be tefillin in your head. You wear tefillin on your head, they won't be scared of you. You wear tefillin in your head, in, then they're going to be scared of you. So we have to understand what that means. But that's what the Baal HaTanya said. Now, the Vilna Gaon said the exact same idea. And supposedly, this was a story. The Vilna Gaon spent the night in an inn somewhere, and the innkeeper was a Jewish man. Okay, that next morning, the Vilna Gaon and the innkeeper got up at around the same time, not knowing, right? Both got up at around Basikin. The innkeeper davened, and the Vilna Gaon was davening, each one in their place with their tefillin on and everything. One of the people who stayed in the hotel, a non-Jewish man who obviously was not of the highest caliber, came out of his room, saw the Jewish innkeeper davening, was enraged that such a man would daven to his Lord, ran up to him and started beating him mercilessly. And the innkeeper started screaming, started crying all out, help, help, help. The Vilna Gaon was in his room. He opened up the door to his room. The guy who was beating up the innkeeper turned to the Vilna Gaon, and when he saw him, he fainted. Fainted. According to one story, version of the story, he died right there on the spot. But he fainted. So the Vilna Gaon came and helped the innkeeper get up. The innkeeper said, thank you so much, but I don't get it. What just happened? And the Vilna Gaon had the same response. He said, tefillin shel rosh, the Yoram Yimeka, they're going to be afraid of you. To which the guy said, but I was wearing my tefillin and he wasn't scared of me. And the Vilna Gaon said, you were wearing the tefillin ala rosh. I was wearing my tefillin birosh. And the difference between us, that's why he was scared of me, he wasn't scared of you. It also explains why people don't get scared of me. I sometimes walk outside with my tefillin on just to see what would happen. Right? Walk into the street to see if anybody, but nothing. Absolutely nothing. Because I'm not wearing my tefillin birosh, I'm wearing an ala rosh. So what's the difference? Rav Sternbuch tries to explain, when a person is mishabed himself, he gives himself up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his whole body is given up to do the Avodas Hashem, and he does everything truly l'shem shamayim, then he is called by the name of Hashem. Ki Shem Hashem Nikra Lecha. He's reached the level of shlemus that a person can possibly reach. That's the idea. It's not just you're wearing tefillin on your head. You put tefillin on top of your head, that's there. You need to make it that the tefillin is a part of you. You're mishabed yourself to your tefillin. That it's part of your whole life. That wearing your tefillin is something that, forget about, I won't go a day without. I feel like I'm missing something until I put on my tefillin. When you wake up in the morning, I know women can't answer this question because they don't have it. But us, we have this opportunity. If we have this opportunity, do you feel different before you put on your tefillin and after you put on your tefillin?
Yes.
Okay. One person. I don't know. If you don't have it on, if you wait a little bit, if you wait a half an hour to put on your tefillin, do you feel different? But you should, because that's the pshat of what it means to have it sheb birosh, to make it such a part of you. It's like, do you put on your kippah in the morning? Of course. Do you feel empty when you don't have a kippah on your head? Do you feel weird when you don't have a kippah on your head? It feels weird. It just seems strange. I once had a Rebbe, okay? I don't say where, but I had a Rebbe who... He was a funny guy, and he did this all the time. Haredi guy, Haredi. We're not talking like, I'm not saying like somebody was Haredi in everything he did. Black hat, jacket, everything. One time he was giving shir, and he couldn't understand a tosis. And I still remember, he was so angry that he couldn't understand tosis, he threw down his kippah on the table. I was like, what is tosis talking about? And he gave the rest of the shir for almost a half an hour without his kippah on his head. I still remember it. I was like shocked, standing there like,
did you ask him why?
Doesn't seem right. He said he forgot. Now, I feel that way about tefillin. And it's so sad. There's a chiyuv to remember you have the tefillin on top of your head. You can't sit there and not remember you have tefillin. There's supposed to be a constant reminder. That's why you always put your hands one after the other. But there are times where you're just like, oh, got to take my tefillin off. Forgot I had them on. We can't act that way. That's when the tefillin are a la rosh. It's there. We need the tefillin to be sheber rosh. I feel different without them on. How does that happen? I would assume it's treating them right. By saying you take the tefillin before you put them on, you give it a kush, you give it a kiss, and you say to yourself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, I don't know exactly what I'm doing here. I don't quite get what this mitzvah is. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you want me to do this. This is part of showing my love to you. I have the opportunity to do this. Not everybody has this opportunity. I'm putting it on to show that I love you. And if not, because you're already 12 minutes late to davening, right? At least give it a kiss and try it the next time around. And you keep trying to eventually get it sheberosh. The Vilna Gaon, the way he says it, is the same type of idea. It has to be a higher caliber of Kedusha. Just a level of Kedusha that we're just not used to. Something that we haven't had yet. And the third story is the Shagas Aryeh. Shagas Aryeh lived around the times of the Vilna Gaon. Same story, traveling in a wagon. It was surrounded by armed robbers. As soon as they saw the Shagas Aryeh, they all ran away in fear. To which the wagon driver said, I was also wearing tefillin. To which the Shagas Aryeh said, you were wearing tefillin, al rosh. I was wearing my tefillin, sheb rosh. Same story, all over again. Chofetz Chaim says, this level of having others fear us in that way was lost by the Egel Azov. Before that happened, before they sinned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with them b'derech neis through the Shem Havaya. And even our tefillin were on the level where people would look at them and they'd be shocked and pass out. That's what it was like before the Egel Azov. And then the Egel Azov happened. Once the Egel Azov happened, Vayisnatzlu b'nei Yisrael said yom. Bnei Yisrael took off their crowns. They took off their tefillin. They lost the kedusha of the tefillin. They took it off and they put it to the side. The power of tefillin was diminished. We look at it as the crowns. We know what the crowns are, right? Nasa v'nishma, the crowns that they had that they took off after the Egel Azov. This means that the crowns were not just spiritual crowns. It was the crowns of tefillin that they had on their head. No longer do we have the same crown of tefillin. Moshe Rabbeinu kept his tefillin. And he had to wear a mask because the tefillin so brightly, he had a fiery light that peered from his face, from the tefillin. People were scared of it. Even Jews were scared of the power of tefillin. But we lost it at that time, says the Chafetz Chaim. And now, all we have left is the shin engraved on our shel rosh. He says the shin represents what the tefillin should have been, but never became. They should have been our crowning glory. Our ultimate, look at what kind of people we are, and instead it remains something there. The Chassam Sofer says something as well, but I'll end with this. This is just a shaila. Alein L'Shaveach brings down, there was once a smart aleck who traced the Shem Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei, into a bus. He traced it in. He put in the dust of a bus. You know in Eretz Yisrael, there's like dust all over the place. So one brilliant person, for sure a non-acher, went ahead and put Yud Kei, then Vav, and then Kei, right, inside the bus itself. So the bus driver went to Yitzchak Zilberstein and asked him, what do I do? Can I erase it? Am I allowed to erase it or not? Right? It's shame avaya. Are you allowed to do something? You're not allowed to do something. So simply put, the simple answer to the question is that there are ways of doing it through a grumma. Although you're not allowed to erase HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, you can erase HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name through a grumma. So he suggested, take a whole bunch of water, like buckets of water, pour it on top of the bus, and let the water rain down so that it ruins all the dust that's there, so there's no shame avaya, that we get rid of it. I'm sorry? Yeah, go through a car wash. Go through a car wash would be the same. I don't even know those exist in Eretz Yisrael. I'm sure they do. But go through a car wash. Or wait for it to rain. You know, wait for it to rain and allow the rain to go through. He said that's the best thing to be able to go through. He says the reason why is based on the Gemara and Shabbos, Kuf Chav Lamed Beis, there's a maisa of erasing a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name. It's a problem, but not. He brings it down over here. Ki Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha. There's other questions that he brings down regarding tattoos. Not in this place, but regarding others. If a person has the tattoo of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name on him, can he erase it? Can he get rid of the tattoo? Is he allowed to go into a bathroom without covering it up? I once saw a guy when I was in Tzfas by the Arizal's mikveh who had his arm like this the entire time while he was inside there. So it happened to be, I thought, that it was because he had a picture that was not so good on him. But it wasn't. He had the shame havaya, like Justin Bieber. He still has one, I'm assuming. Right? He had the shame havaya on him, and he couldn't get rid. He couldn't have it, so he covered it up the entire time while he's inside the mikvah. What do you do in those types of cases? For all those others, if there's ever a child that has a kippah with a pasuk on it or a Shem's name on it, bad move by those parents. But if it does happen, those are shilas. There's something to keep in mind that kishem Hashem nikra alecha. When you have it upon you, you want to be careful that it's not literally upon you, that you don't actually have a shem avaya upon you. All right, guys, have a great Shabbos.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.